I've been coming to Faith Baptist Church since 1991. And I look at this congregation out here and I see two people that were here when I came. That would be my brother. I say three people. My sister-in-law and Miss Nunn. I don't know if Dave was here or not. No. And there was a song. Is this on?
Might be, yeah.
There was a song the pastor always sang. And I just love the song. I don't even know the title of it, but I know it starts like this. Josh, help me out. Once I wandered in sin's dark night, there was no way to make my wrongs right. But then the old accuser from the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die. Thank you. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm prepared and unprepared all at the same time. I really didn't know what I was going to do tonight. The Lord, I had two or three things I picked out to do, and just seemed like God wouldn't let me do none of them. One thing that I've noticed in this church, and I thank God for it, but sometimes it makes me feel a little inferior. We have 10 or 12 folks in this church that are Bible school graduates. And I've never been to Bible. I did a correspondence Bible school for a couple of years, and that was it. And when I get up here, I get nervous. And I wonder, you know, what do you say to people that are more knowledgeable than you are? What do you tell them that they ain't already heard? And sometimes, and I don't know how you are, but through the years, since I've been here since 1991, And sometimes I sit in the pew down there, and the pastor, he'll start telling one of the stories that I've heard 200 times, or he'll preach a message that I've heard 150 times, or he'll tell a story that I've heard 100 times, and sometimes I say, I just might as well stay home. I've already heard everything he's got to say. Why does he keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over? And we finally here a while back, I finally figured it out. You know, as wise a man as Paul was, and all that he had been through, one of the greatest teachers ever in the Bible, greatest preachers ever in the Bible, and I want to read something to you that he wrote. Let us have a word of prayer before we go any farther here. God, Lord, I thank you for this night. Father, I pray you just use these lips of clay, move me aside, and Father, just help. Help someone here tonight, God. This study's already helped me. And Lord, sometimes I think that you're better off to teach or preach on something that you're familiar with personally between me and you, God, that would help me better and help the folks better. God, help me. Use me. Cleanse me within, God. And Lord, pray right now. Nothing's between you and I. And I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, I want to read something here. And it hit me like a light bulb came on. And I figured it out. I figured it all out. Just one verse. One verse. Look at verse 1, chapter 3, Philippians. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Some of us are not quite as smart as some others of us. Some of us don't catch things as quickly as some of the others of us catch it. The preacher preaches the same thing sometimes and says the same thing sometimes because for us, for me, it's safe. It's safe. I've seen some folks go through this church, and Lord, help them. But I've seen folks come in this church, sit in that pew right there, and with the, as far as I'm concerned, the best preacher, best pastor in the world, amen, standing behind this pulpit, telling them what they're doing wrong, how to get it fixed, what to do about it. And they walk right out those doors, and in a matter of a week or two, you hear they're in jail.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm talking about there's two or three different people, and that there aren't none of them here now. But they would get out of jail and come right back to this church, sit in the same spot they always sat in, listen to the same preacher they always listened to, getting the same information that they always got on how to live right, how to be holy.
Amen.
And it wouldn't be in a matter of maybe a month or two, they'd be back in jail again.
Right.
That same person.
Yeah.
And I've seen people in this church right here, as many as two or three that have been in church two or three times since I've been here, since 91. They just don't get it. They just don't get it. And I'm sure right now, right here in this room, that there's folks that's got habits that our pastor has stood up here and rebuked. I'm not saying he rebuked you. He rebuked the habit. A lot of people get upset about that. They think that he's reading their mail or something, and he knows what they're, you know, everything they're doing. That's not the case.
Yeah, that's
You know what he's doing, don't you? He's reading God's mail. Right here.
Amen.
The good word. He's reading God's mail. And he's getting his information from here. And he's relaying it to us. And it's sad. It is. It's sad to see what some of our people do with the information that they get. It's a sad day. I mean, God doesn't expect much from us. As a matter of fact, he asks us for a reasonable service. I mean, reasonable. God's not unreasonable. What I'd like to do right here, just for a minute here, I'd like to give some encouragement for preachers and teachers. I'm going to read this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 21. I'm going to read this whole chapter. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concisions. For we are not circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ." Well, that's something right there to think about, that verse 7 right there. Paul says, what has been gained to me, I count as loss to Christ. And I think about my own life sometimes and all the things I get involved in. And I'm involved in something right now that I wish I'd never got involved in. And that's Mayor Kenton. I wish I'd never got involved in that thing. Because that takes time away from God.
Amen. Yeah.
And I don't know how in the world anybody could ever get a thought in their mind to thinking the mayor was a high position when you're already an ambassador for God.
Amen.
An ambassador for God is the highest position you can hold.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. What religion you're in, if you're a saved, a born-again Christian, you're an ambassador for God.
Right. Yeah.
Can't get any higher than that. And sometimes what I have to do with the town takes away from things I could be doing for God. And I'm here to let you know tonight that when my term runs out, I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done. If I last the whole term. But it says, for the things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. I mean, you think about anything you get involved in, I don't care what it is, anything you get involved in outside of church takes away from church.
That's right. Yeah.
It's just that simple. It's that simple. You can't be two places at one time. You're not God. So if you're involved in something outside the church, then something's going on at the church. You can't be there because you're involved in something else.
Right.
Priorities. Sometimes we get our priorities a little messed up. Verse 8 says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." And that's, you know, Paul says anything outside of Christ is, I count it as dung. Dung. Manure. Fertilizer. Whatever you want to call it. That's all it is a bunch of crap. A bunch of crap. Anything outside of God. I mean, you think about what anything other than God has bettered your life. Or did you better? There's nothing.
Amen.
There's nothing out there that better your life than Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
If anybody could be living proof, I could be. I mean, I've lived a crazy life, I mean, got saved 27 years old, and I never did right until I was probably close to 37. Why? Because I thought that this world had something to give me, and it did. Hard time. Hard time, difficult, problems, all kinds of things that came up in my life was totally unnecessary. We put ourselves in some predicaments sometimes. Amen. And then we like to blame other people, the flesh or the devil, or, you know, just, it's always somebody else's fault, never ours. It says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth under those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. What mark is that? What mark is that? To be more like Christ. Amen. To be more like Christ daily. Well, I tell you, sometimes I'm riding down the road, and I was lucky today, I guess, or blessed, I reckon would be the word. Somehow or another, my radio in my truck broke yesterday, and I got to listen to me and the Lord all day. Amen. Amen. And, I mean, so many things went through my mind today while I was just driving around, riding in the truck, me and God. I got the job first thing this morning. I was there before anybody else was there. And I took a page out of our pastor's book, and I would recommend all of you to take at least one page out of his book. Try to get the whole book if you can get it. But I got on the job. There was four porta-potties there, and I went out and started putting out tracts. And thank God, the first one I went into, there was a gospel tract already in there. And it was from Goldsboro Baptist Church. And I wish Joe was here. I try to encourage him a little bit. That's the church his grandfather went to. And there is some people in that church trying to do something for God. But what the day just seemed to go so smooth, and everything was just me and God, no matter where we went. And it was just, it was like being in heaven, really. It was like being in heaven. Being alone with just God all day. All day. Brother Mike knows what I'm talking about. He rides around in the truck. And a lot of days it's like that, right? Some days are bad, but I mean, most days are really good. Most days are really good. It says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal that even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their bellies, whose glory is their shame, whose mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the work whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him. I wanted to say this tonight. Let me get on the right page here, because I told Josh before we started tonight that this message that I had was actually originally a Sunday school class, and it lasted for 3 weeks. Now Josh says he's got to get up and go to work tomorrow morning. I don't know what his problem is. Amen. But I wanted to say this. I wanted to talk about back here in verse 2. It says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concise. When it talks about beware of dogs, you know there's dogs of every kind. And the pastor just talked about this last week, about us being dogs. And you know what? There's all kinds of dogs. There's them little dogs that yip, 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 make a whole bunch of noise and do nothing. Then there's the ones that growl, but they don't do anything either. Then there's the ones that just bite. And that's what I love about our pastor. Our pastor is all three of them together. He'll stand behind this pulpit, and he'll yip, 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 yip. He'll tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you what you're supposed to be doing. And then when he sees over a time period you're not doing that, then he'll start growling. He'll start growling. Yep. And you don't want him to bite. Amen. You don't want him to bite. But I thought about this thing. You know, I look at our pastor as a sheepdog. Just an old sheepdog. I don't know how many of you ever seen that cartoon. I think it's Wile E. Coyote or one of them where the sheepdog comes in and he punches in the time clock. And he says, good morning, Sam. He says, good morning, George. And the coyote goes to work and the sheepdog goes to work. And the coyote all day tries to get sheep and the sheepdog pounds his head all day long. And at the end of the day, they go get ready to leave, go home. They say, good night, George. Good night, Sam. I look at our pastor as a sheepdog. That's just the way he is. Let me tell you something. Our pastor, he punched in that old time clock when he said, when he said, Lord, I'll take this church. Amen. And has been working 24 hours a day ever since. Amen. 24 hours a day. You know, we complain sometimes because we have to put in a 10-hour day. We complain sometimes because we have to put in a 12-hour day or even maybe a 14-hour day now and then. Now and then. Once in a while. Once or twice a year. Sometimes not even that. And we complain about that. Yeah. But that same person that's complaining about that, when he has a catastrophe in the middle of the night and gets a phone call, something's going wrong, who do they call? Not Ghostbusters. They call that old sheepdog.
Yeah.
And look, he's right there. He's right there, faithful as he can be.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I love that old sheepdog. I'll tell you what. You couldn't ask for a better guard dog than Pastor Ryman.
Yeah, amen.
He amazes me sometimes, the things that he knows. He amazes me sometimes. I had no idea, other than God, I don't know where he gets this information from. Because sometimes he tells me things that only I know. How that happened. But you know what? When you're sitting in that congregation and he reads that Bible and he gets up here preaching to you, he's telling you things that only you think only you know.
Yeah.
You think only you know. Like what you did last night or what you did last week, or what you did last month, what you did just a few hours ago before you got to church.
Right, man.
Our pastor, man, he hits right on those things. I love it. You know, I love it. This church right here not only preaches against sin, but it names the sins.
Amen.
And that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need to know.
Yeah.
We need a preacher that's going to tell us the truth.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
He's going to tell us the truth. And he's going to tell us the truth over and over and over and over and over. Because some of his heads are really thick. I mean, do you feel the back of that pew, how thick that is of wood? Some of our heads are like that.
Amen.
We don't get it the first time. We don't get it the second time.
Right.
We don't get it the third time. But sooner or later, if you keep coming back, he's going to get it across.
He
don't give up. I love that old sheepdog. He don't give up. He's there 24/7. Whenever you need him, he's there. Boy, God, thank God for a man that would stand behind the pulpit like that.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of churches in my life, and I've talked to a lot of different people, different congregations, different pastors, and every one of them, they say something about our church. I'll tell you what. We got a preacher, and I've seen a lot of them. He's the only one I ever known to live exactly what he believes.
Right.
He
right.
lives what he preaches. You know that old saying, oh, practice what you preach? He practices what he preaches.
Amen.
I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not trying to put him up on a pedestal. But I'll tell you what, he's a lot closer today than he was the day that he started.
Amen.
Are you? Are you a lot closer to being perfect today than you was the day you started? Or do you find yourself falling back sometimes into them old traps?
Good.
And you see yourself the same place you were 3 or 4 years ago, or 6 or 7 years ago, or just last week. Sometimes we find ourselves falling back. That's why the pastor has to bring the same message back again.
Yeah.
To remind you.
Good.
To remind you what you're supposed to be doing. The whole thing that this message was supposed to have been was things that will cause you to lose your joy as a Christian. And I'm not going to be able to get into all that because there's like 5 chapters of Bible reading. And but I want to just give you a couple of things that will cause you to lose your joy. Circumstances will cause you to lose your joy. Situations cause you to lose your joy. Let me tell you what, Christian. Let me tell you something. And I'm sure there's people right in this room right here that can vouch for this. I can give you just one incident that I see weekly. And if you work for another company other than working for yourself, I'm sure you see it too. Payday. When people think that their check's going to be one thing and it's something else. But it's a legit something else. And that something else is a little less than what you expected. Those circumstances can cause you to lose your joy. You see the accountants, I'm talking about big, tough, construction, rough, hard men. But you can see the accountants on their face change when they open that check. Well, I thought that we had this many hours and on a scale job, but we only had this many. And I thought that we worked this many hours over there, but we only worked this many. And they get that check, man. You see them, they come in the morning, man, they're all happy. They're jumping around. It's Thursday morning, payday, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And they walk in there, and they get that check, and man, you see their face go. And it just totally changed their countenance. Things that cause you to lose your joy, circumstances, situations. Sometimes we as Christians have trouble controlling our emotions. Or our spirit. You shouldn't lose your joy just because the weather is bad.
Yeah.
I bet you old Mike, in his day, he got up in the morning and knew he had a big tire change to do out on the highway someplace, and it was raining outside. When he woke up and seen that weather, boy, it changed his whole complex about that day. And I'm the same way with construction work. But we as Christians shouldn't allow that to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
We shouldn't allow circumstances to control our emotions. that Wednesday night that because you can't get off during the week, take your car through inspection, you got to go on Wednesday night. And that Wednesday night, man, you got this car running top notch. You get down that inspection lane, you go through there, and they say, oh, no, you got a light bulb out. Fail. Our emotions might get the best of us sometimes. But we shouldn't allow things of this world to get us down.
Amen.
Right. We need to think, what would Jesus do? And that's another thing the pastor used the other day with the bracelet, WWJD. What would Jesus do? You think about it. All your little toys and things you got. The more you got, the more problems you got. That was one of the things that I was always down on about the newer the vehicles get, the more junk they put on them, the more problems you have with them.
Amen.
And they do that on purpose to get your paycheck. But we need to be faithful in all things.
Amen.
We need to be faithful Sunday mornings, Sunday school.
Yeah.
We need to be faithful Sunday worship service.
Amen.
And, you know, we say worship service. I know some Sunday mornings you wake up, you don't feel like a Christian. You don't feel like worshiping. But you know what? Them's the days that you need it the most.
Yeah, amen.
Them's the days you need it the most. I heard a story one time. This guy went in to wake his wife up, older couple, and he went in and went to touch her on her shoulder. She said, "Don't touch me." He said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I died." He said, "You died?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "But you're talking to me." She said, "I got to be dead." She said, "This is the first time I can remember waking up and nothing hurts." The older you get, the more aches and pains you're going to have. Don't let those take your joy away. Don't allow them to keep you from worshiping God. God puts us all in peculiar places. And might I add, for peculiar reasons. Not meant for us to know. Just meant for us to get through.
Yeah.
And he'll help you do that. Don't allow things of this world to cause you to lose your joy. And the next time the preacher is preaching on something you already heard or telling a story that you've already heard, take it in. Because there's something you missed the last time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Brother Ken.